Thanks, Ian, for that. You'll find this hard to believe because I don't wear a tie that often. But I spoke to my daughter holding up my tie rack saying, which one do you reckon? This one or this nice sort of pinky aubergine tie? I was thinking, I've got it wrong. I was just so impressed with Ian's tie. Yeah, well, that's what I thought. It was an unbelievable match for the carpet and the walls. So I'm sorry, it's a bit of a clash now. But there you go. Well, it's great to be here, and really a joy to share with you. And what a building. Real change, isn't it? I remember back in the glorious days of the 80s, it was a bit different, wasn't it, when we had the creche situated in the foyer, which was a sort of small area about where John and Mary are sitting over there, and the Sunday school classes were crammed into the kitchen and various other places. It's amazing. This is really a transformation, isn't it? And I know that Val and Judith have been waiting nearly 20, well, I don't know how long it is, a long time for that dishwasher, haven't you? Finally, the time has come and the kitchen has a dishwasher. I think it's a bad move. I think the fellowship around the sink is going to be nowhere near as good. But there you go. Yeah, that's right. But no, seriously, it's great to be here. And to reiterate the greetings and prayers of Mighton Church with you at this really special point. And it really is a fantastic change. Lots of light, new accommodation, hopefully fit for the next phase of the church's life and growth. Well, there's been several other buildings that have opened in 2012. Not as grand as this one, of course, but fairly significant. We have this particular building in London. I guess the children are all... Oh, yeah, some of you are looking. Anybody know what the building is? What's the building? The Olympic Stadium, yeah. Did anybody go to the Olympics? A few of you, yeah. A few of you have been. Was it a good building? Yeah. General nods. Divided architectural opinions, but, you know, nice building. I actually am much more impressed with this particular building that opened a short while ago. Do you know where that is? That's the Shard, isn't it? In London, next to London Bridge Station. I mean, I can't get my head around how they build that thing so tall, can you? I mean, I just can't get around it. 1,000 feet tall. Well, for those of you younger, I made a note, 309.6 metres. But 1,000 feet, absolutely staggering, isn't it? Astonishing feat of engineering. And buildings have that capacity, don't they, to take our breath away. Not just modern buildings, but old buildings as well. Some of the great cathedrals. Incredible what builders, what architects, what designers can come up with. Well, I thought at this point, it would be good to pause, though, and remember an even more impressive building project. We've heard about it already in the reading, but basically, it's God's building project. It's God's building project. And what I mean is the formation and the ongoing growth of the Christian church. And it's interesting that building metaphors are used to describe that work that God is involved in. We've heard them read by Carl. Thanks ever so much. I'll put them on the screen again now so you can read them again. Just have a look at this and note those building metaphors. In him, that's Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, Paul, who wrote those words, was a Jew. And all Jews recognized the importance of a temple in Jerusalem, particularly centuries before the one that was built by Solomon, a remarkable building. Paul wrote these words to a group of Christians living in and around Ephesus. And Ephesus had a fantastic temple, the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And yet, doubtless with both these temples in Paul's mind, he can write and say, there's a far greater building. And it actually consists of you people, Ephesus in the first instance,
But you people,
those of us who are Christians, this is the most amazing building project in the world. In fact, Paul says, my paraphrase, even the angels gasp with astonishment when they see it. That's Ephesians 3:10, my paraphrase for those of you who want to know. Amazing. So, with apologies, of course, to the builders and architect, you know, it's impressive building this, but actually it pales into insignificance when we understand what God is doing with people, all sorts of different people, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, making them all one great household. Amazing stuff. Now, the verses actually refer to the whole of the church enterprise that God is involved in, but I think it's got some things to say to any local church, and particularly I'm just going to highlight three quick things that I hope will... I hope it'll inspire and challenge the folk at Salterford, but all of us too. So, Salterford, if you thought you're over your building project, sigh of relief, phew, building project over. No. You're still involved in another one, aren't you? The great spiritual building project. Here's the first thing that is so important to get. The church is held together by Jesus. The church is held together by Jesus. Now, I don't know who actually it was who went through the building proposal and worked out whether it complied with building regulations. But I know that's quite a tough job, isn't it? Everything built has to comply with building regulations. I don't know anything about them except that there's a whole lot of different sections. Section part A right through to part P. It covers things like the structure of the building, drainage, fire safety, sound insulation, disabled access, and so on. Lots of things that a building has to comply with. Well, here's the interesting thing. As Paul talks about God's building, I think he specifies one key building requirement, one building regulation, and this is it. Everything has to be linked to, aligned to Jesus Christ. It says here, it's in Him, in Jesus, that the whole building is shaped and is growing. And in the earlier verse, it describes Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In any great building, the cornerstone is very significant. The walls take their alignment from it. It literally holds the building together. And that is what Paul is saying. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, is indispensable for the church's unity and the church's growth. That's what one commentator says. So I just want to stress that. The intimate connection between Jesus and every member of his church. Paul makes the point a little earlier in this book when he says this: God appointed Christ to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. See again that idea of connectiveness. Jesus the head, the church the body. Now you know this, but I'm going to tell you again that actually being part of the church, the true church that God is building through Jesus Christ, is not just about turning up to services, though that is important, but it's about a vital link with Jesus. A vital link with Jesus. So here's an interesting thought. I wonder if that's true of you today. I wonder if that's true of you. Are you part of this great building enterprise that God's involved in? Are you in vital relationship with Jesus Christ? Some of you can say, yep, I certainly am. I am. For others of you, you might be thinking, I'm not too sure about that. Well, here's a suggestion. If you're really not sure, come here tomorrow, 10:30, or come back sometime. Anyway, come back, because I'm sure here this church is going to continue to make much of Jesus Christ, to talk about him, to sing to him, to pray and praise him week by week, because Jesus is the one who holds the whole building project of God together. If you want to find out more about what it means to be linked to him, come back, and I'm sure the folk here will tell you. But I'm sure that's right, isn't it, Salterford? Jesus is going to stay the centre of this work here, yeah? Here's the second thing. The church is work in progress. Work in progress. I love that video, didn't you? I actually came in and saw it yesterday. I thought, this is great. However, it's slightly deceptive. when you watch that video, you might have thought, this is great, you can see the thing taking shape, everything whizzes along, and suddenly you see things being constructed. It wasn't quite like that in real time, I have to say, was it? Was it? I guess if some of you were here at the beginning, you had a look at the building site. What on earth is this? What a mess. How is this ever going to become this? You think that? A building site is absolutely chaotic, isn't it? It's an absolute... Be careful, actually, the building site. I know that some people know what's happening, but for most people, you look and you think, I just don't know what's happening here. There are all sorts of times. Everything has to be scheduled to arrive at the right point so that this can be linked to that and this is connected to that bit, and it's an absolute mess to start with. I mean, construction sites are messy places. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? Well, bear in mind that God's building work is also work in progress. So in a sense, the church is like a massive big construction site. Some of us would love it to be nice and tidy, but it isn't. The building, Paul says, is growing. It's rising. And he says to these Ephesians, you too are now being built together. I'm sure if Paul were here now, he'd say to you folks, you now are being built together into this great building. Joined together, fitted together. Now, the picture I've got up there isn't quite right, is it? Because that wall is being made out of bricks. Building with bricks, I say this very casually, never having constructed a brick wall in my life, but I'm sure building with bricks is fairly straightforward because they're all the same shape. Paul is thinking about a building made up of a load of stones, different shapes and sizes. Can you imagine what it's like to work with them? So I have to chip bits off to make it fit into that wall, and there's all these rough edges that have got to be smoothed off. Now where does that happen? That's the local church, isn't it? Some of you are smiling because you know about this, don't you? Some of the rough edges being, church is really messy at times. It is, isn't it? Well, I hope that as you reach this point as a church, you're saying, yep, there's going to be a fresh resolve to allow God to do his work with us in shaping us, dealing with some of the rough edges and bits, continue to make us different so that we fit together properly. It means we acknowledge our failings and our shortcomings. We work hard to relate to other people. You know, the person you're up against, maybe the person you're working with in that ministry area, it's not by chance, is it? God brings us together in this great building work and is refining us and shaping us. I smile because I see some of you when God first took you and brought you to the building site. I remember. And God's been doing a bit of work. Great stuff. And the work isn't over. And of course, there's going to be new material coming. So you're going to be ready to welcome new people, I hope, here, as God assembles building material and the great building continues to rise and take shape under his hand. Now that's true of the whole universal church, but I think it's fair to say it happens in local churches too. So the church is a building site as well. Here's the third thing. Breathtaking. The church is where God can be found. It's where God can be found. Paul writes about people being built together to be a holy temple in the Lord, built together to be a place where God dwells by his Spirit. Isn't that remarkable? It is. As you think about it, that is breathtaking, you know. Now, I did notice that as the work was going on here, Saltus had church decamped elsewhere. You vanished. You moved to Aylesford for your Sunday services. You had other meetings happening at St. Paul's Church in Warwick and various places. You didn't meet in this place while it was a building site, curiously. May have been good reasons for that. Here's the amazing thing. The building project that God's involved in is one day going to be finished. It's going to be an amazing day. Because it isn't just going to affect people. It's going to affect the entire cosmos. New heavens, new earth, and God's glory will fill this new creation. And all this, the church of Jesus will be there. Amazing. God could have thought to himself, well, I'll wait till then. Actually, I don't want to come and be in presence amidst the mess and the chaos of the building work, couldn't he? But here's the wonder. It's a foretaste, I know. But even now, God comes and lives and works among his people as they gather together. And it's all a mess. It's a miracle, isn't it, when you think about it? Absolutely staggering. We sang, "I stand in awe of you." I tell you, if we get this truth, we'll be awestruck by it. The place to meet God. Incredible. So the true church is not a human institution. It's not just like another club, special group of people, common interest. It's far, far more than that. It's a supernatural thing. God is everywhere, of course he is. But God always chooses, in the past, in the Old Testament, he chose particular places to meet with people. Now, he chooses to make his presence known among his people. Now, I know it's a pretty funny photograph here, but it is actually true, isn't it? I guess if that building, where that sign is outside, is filled with Christian believers each Sunday, it's absolutely true. God is here every Sunday. And I trust God will be here every Sunday and at different points through the week as Christian people gather here. People today wonder where to find God. Some people say you need solitude. Some people say you'll find God in nature. Some people talk a lot about sacred space. I don't want to knock all that stuff. But ultimately, I think if you were to ask Paul, where do I find God? He would have said, I'll tell you where. Just come with me down the road to that little gathering of Christian believers. That is where you'll find him. A dwelling for God by his Holy Spirit. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? So Saltisford, as you start this new chapter, I'm guessing, I'm sure it's right, you've got a fresh resolve, haven't you, to stay centred on Jesus, to make much of him, to work at the relationships, you know, the rubbing and the shaping as you're joined together, and to be filled with awe and wonder, to think, amazing, amazing, God is here. Go to the man outside, says, where do I find God? Come with me and I'll show you. And if you're not a Christian here today, I say again, you may be looking for him. You could do no better than come here. Maybe one of the events that are going on, one of the services. Talk to the folk here. Watch their lives. And I pray that you too will encounter the living God among his people. What a building work that's going on. So Saltisford, you've reached a milestone. This building's complete. What a great building it is. But as you come here week by week, remember the bigger miracle. What God's doing, which will last not only for years to come, but way, way into eternity. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing Saltisford Church to this point. Thank you for the generosity they have shown. Thank you for their heart for others in the surrounding area. I pray for them, Lord, as they seek to make Jesus known. To centre the life of this church upon him, the one who holds all the church together. And may they have the joy of seeing many people as we're being joined, linked to Jesus in the coming years. Father, I pray that you'd help them in their relationships. Those difficult points, help them to keep on turning to you, keep on growing more like Jesus. And I pray above all things you keep them awestruck to remember that you, living God, are among them as they come together week by week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.